My name is Sarah. I'm one of the life group pastors here at church, and I just celebrated my 15th workiversary on Saturday. So that was pretty fun. Yeah. It's been quite a ride. This place is very different than it looked 15 years ago, but I love what it looks like now. I love that I've gotten to be a part of it for the last 15 years. For those of you who don't know me, I'm married to my wonderful husband, Dan. This is a picture of my family. He would want me to give a shout out. He actually is trying to be a little bit of an influencer. So if you want to go onto the socials and find Dan the Matching Man, give him a like, give him a follow. He does the shirt. So I don't know if you guys know about like the pair I wear glasses that you can switch out, and the watch bands and the hat and the socks and the shoes. And honestly, the beard oil too. So it's like no joke, okay? He's pretty into it. He's gotten a ton of free stuff, which is pretty fun, because otherwise he's buying a ton of stuff, which is not as fun for me. So anyways, Dan the Matching Man, go look him up. He's gonna be so excited if you guys like all follow him tonight. Like that would be major points for me, okay? We also have a husky named Enzo. He is so great. He's also terrible. He's 75 pounds. He turns 8 this month. He is our firstborn, we say. And Dot's an only child, will always be an only child. And she often talks about her brother, and people get confused. And we also have a porch goose named Mildred. This is our porch goose. This is her strawberry era. If you drive down Fifth Street, you would run to our house, because we bought our house from Morgan. I don't know if you know that. I just like try and like follow Morgan and do what Morgan does. And so I bought our house. And so we're just down on Fifth Street. If you drive down there on your way home, you will see Mildred in her pumpkin outfit, because she does dress for the seasons. Yeah, so that's my family. And then I was trying to think of something that like described me in a nutshell that I could share with you guys. And I remembered I shared this meme with some friends this month. So I thought I would share it with you. It describes me pretty well. So a friend says, I need advice. And I say, eating cookie dough for breakfast, you came to the right person. I am a snack person. Morgan is like always having to buy me snacks because I'll come into her office and say I'm hungry. So she knows she can feed me and I'm a much happier person. So I get the privilege of launching the gathering this year with you guys and I'm so excited. The theme this year is the seven I am statements of Jesus. So I'll just read those off real quick. I'll put them up here on the screen. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door, or I am the gate. I'm the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. And because I got to go first, Morgan let me pick which one I wanted to do. And I picked, I am the good shepherd. So I think when we think of Jesus as a good shepherd, this image often comes to mind. A very white Jesus, in a very beautiful pasturetic setting with the glow. So I think it's one of the most like common and iconic pictures we think of when we think of Jesus, just in imagery. But I just want to say, like, I think this I am statement, I mean, I'm a little biased. I think my I am statement is the best I am statement. But I think it's really important. I think we often just kind of gloss over it because it's a common one that we say a lot. But I'm excited that we get to dive into it a little bit further tonight. All of the I am statements can find their roots from the beginning of Scripture. We're actually doing the Bible in Unity. Who's done the Bible in Unity class? I see a few. So it's a 9-week class we do here at Salem Lion. I'm just going to give a shout out. So I should get points for this too. Morgan, tell Carrie. Okay. It's a 9-week class we do here at Salem Alliance that talks about the unified story of the Bible. And so I think it's really fun when we can take a look at themes from Genesis to Revelation. And that's what we're going to do tonight with the Good Shepherd. But all of the I am statements are a really cool shout out to Exodus when Yahweh, God, introduced himself to Moses and said, I am who I am. And so, fun fact, when Jesus is making these I am statements, he's really claiming his divinity, right? He's acknowledging the fact that he is all man and all God. And so I think they're all important, and they all speak to his character and his mission and his purpose. But this one has a special place in my heart. A few years ago, my husband and I were leading a Bible study, which Dan and I have figured out that we don't do things well together, other than be married, if that makes sense. So we don't lead that Bible study anymore, but we led that Bible study, and we had a new couple join, and it was obvious that they were new. She was a new believer. I don't know if he was a believer, boyfriend, girlfriend, from a rougher lifestyle, but they were hungry. She was hungry. He didn't say anything. And then about 3 weeks into them coming to the group, we were talking about the parable of the lost sheep, which is when Jesus goes and, you know, leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one. And he just looks at us and he goes, okay, I don't get it. What is with all of the sheep in the Bible? And I was like, this is a really good question. And so I said something brilliant, I'm sure. But it got me really thinking about how odd it is that the Bible talks a lot about sheep and shepherds. And in fact, when Jesus identified himself as the good shepherd, he was drawing on a rich biblical tradition that started all the way back in Genesis 4, which is where we learn about the first shepherd. I'm going to give us like a 10,000 foot view of kind of walking through scripture so we just get like how impactful this I am statement was at the time. Like I said, Genesis 4, we see Abel, so Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep until his brother. And then the patriarchs were nomadic sheep keepers. That's how they lived their life, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Women, fun fact, were also shepherds. Rachel was called a shepherdess in the Bible. Jacob, when he blessed his sons, he referred to God as the shepherd, the rock of Israel. That's the first time in Genesis that God is referred to as shepherd, which is kind of fun. And then in Exodus, we have Moses, who was the prince of Egypt. Good movie, by the way. And then he became a shepherd, right? When he killed the guy and ran and then became a shepherd. And that's also, you know, that whole Moses story is where we get the Passover lamb and the idea of sacrifices, the law, the atonement that's needed. And so the lambs are really important in that imagery as well. It reaches like a full, beautiful image in Psalm 23 when David writes about Jesus as the shepherd. Well, he doesn't say Jesus, the Lord, but who he himself, David, was a shepherd before he became king. He declared, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need," which reveals just an intimate relationship between the divine shepherd and his people. I just love that. The prophets go ahead and expand on this. Isaiah 40:11 says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." But that tender image, which I love, that tender image of the shepherd, is very much contrasted with the leaders of Israel in Ezekiel were compared to bad shepherds in Ezekiel 34. They like fail to protect the flock of Israel. And so God promises through Ezekiel that he'll send a good shepherd. This is the first, like one of the first times that it's connected that Jesus will be the good shepherd. He says, "I myself will search for my sheep. I will look after them. I will rescue them. I will pasture them. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak." And then comes the messianic promise. "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them." So when Jesus declared, "I am the good shepherd," he was claiming to be the fulfillment of all of this, right? And his listeners would have immediately recognized this connection to Ezekiel's prophecy. And also to Psalm 23. So then Jesus spends a lot of time talking about how he is the good shepherd. He talks about how the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He had compassion on the crowds around him in Matthew 9 because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he also emphasized the intimate knowledge that shepherds have of his sheep, how he knows them. "I know my sheep knows me, just like I know my Father and my Father knows me." So this is not a casual acquaintance. This is a deep personal relationship. The apostles carried on this imagery after Jesus ascended. I forgot, the whole Peter piece. Hold on. I don't know if you guys have this, but when you talk up front, do you like leak? I like have it. My nose, I'm like, I wore the wrong shirt, so if you start seeing sweat, I'm just gonna be honest. It might happen, okay? I'm really glad you're all, anyways, it's the thing. Okay. Peter denied Jesus three times, but then in John 21, Jesus restores him three times by saying, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, which is just a beautiful picture of him kind of bestowing the shepherd role onto his followers. And they carry that forward. They were supposed to be the guardians of the flock. We read a lot about that in 1 Peter, about how the overseers of the church were considered shepherds. And even the writer of Hebrews refers to Jesus as a good shepherd, and that we are kind of the under-shepherds to the shepherd of our souls. And then in Revelation, we get a beautiful culmination of all of these promises, where in Revelation 7, it says, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So the circle is complete, right? The sacrificial lamb has become the eternal shepherd, which I just love when you can just like take a step back and kind of see, because I didn't get all of them. There were like a lot more, but just kind of a glimpse at how it goes from Genesis to Revelation and see it all the way through. But I got to thinking, why sheep? So my sister-in-law keeps sheep. And let me tell you, they're very cute, but they're also loud. Here's a picture of, yeah, that's cute. That was Dot like 2 years ago. And we were holding a baby sheep in a bee costume because we dress up our animals. And this is some of her sheep eating their strawberries. They have a farm out in St. Paul. I'll give another shout out. You should go to the Coach Family Farm in St. Paul if you want pumpkins. That's my family's farm. Okay. I don't get any points from you guys, but also if you tell my husband, then I get more points. I don't know if you guys work on a point system, but we do. Okay, so I've gotten to be around sheep for quite a bit the last 9 years I've been a part of the family, and here's some things I've learned. They're herd creatures. They follow a leader, so if one does something, they all do something. How many of you guys have seen that video of the sheep in the ditch, and then the guy gets the sheep out of the ditch, and then the sheep runs away and gets back in the ditch? Yes, they do that. Or there's like videos of one sheep will jump like over a log and then they'll keep following and then you take the log away, but then the sheep keep jumping because they think there's a log there. But they actually are really good at recognizing faces. So they know my sister-in-law, Lori. They know her more than anyone. They can definitely distinguish when it's me and Doc coming and when it's Lori coming, mostly because she feeds them, but. They're prey animals, so they have excellent vision and hearing, and they're highly social, so they're actually very sensitive to emotions, which I think is fun. Fun fact, I tried to get a sheep, like a pet sheep, because baby doll sheep, the ones that were up there, are really cute, and they're small. And so I was a really good citizen, and I emailed the city of Salem, and was like, I need a sheep. And they were like, no, you can't have a sheep. And I was like, I really wish I hadn't asked. But now I can't have a sheep because I did ask and I'm a good person. So that's the end of that story. Okay. I think if anyone has a sheep and I can't take it because they'll find me. I think the Bible uses sheep to represent us as people for a few reasons. One, again, they're not the brightest, but they aren't like dumb, which, okay. Like I feel like that represents us as humans pretty well. They're a very well-known entity. I feel like every culture, every people group has understanding of sheep. No sheep anywhere I visited on, like, there's sheep. People know sheep, right? Okay. And they're all, obviously, they have value. You can eat them. You can use their wool for clothing. You can, you know, they provide income and food. And in a lot of biblical history, sheep were used for the atoning of sin. So I just think it's really interesting how much value is actually placed on sheep, even though they're just sheep. I also think it's interesting that Jesus compares himself to a shepherd. Because like all the other I am statements are like, yep, that tracks. Resurrection and life, check. Way the truth and life, check. Shepherd, okay. Like for us, we get it because again, we're at like the 10,000 foot level looking in on the scripture. But for his followers, they would have been like, shepherd? Really? Shepherd. Because shepherds in biblical times were not looked upon very well. They had pretty low social standing. They lived a very nomadic lifestyle. They had very little possessions. They were like superheroes because they protected these sheep and they lived out in the wild. And I would not have wanted to be a shepherd. They were able to know the area that they took their sheep in because they had to find water and food. They had to know how to protect their sheep from wild animals, so they had to like fight off wolves and stuff. They had to know how to provide medical care because if their sheep got sick, they had to make sure they got well or they would lose a valuable commodity. They went and searched for them if they got lost, which happens a lot. And they knew each sheep individually. I thought that was really interesting. Like Lori, I'm comparing my sister-in-law to like shepherds of old, but like she knows each of her sheep. Oh, and this is a funny part. She names her sheep in batches. So like sometimes it's pasta. And so she has like a macaroni and a spaghetti. And then the next year it will be like flowers. And so she knows like which is the mom's. And it's really cool. So I would imagine that shepherds of old probably had a spaghetti sheep too, but that was just a side note, fun fact for you guys. But again, despite the importance of their work, shepherds at Jesus' time were considered ceremonially unclean. They couldn't worship, they couldn't do the rituals because they were seen as unclean. So I think we talk about that a lot at Easter. That's not when Jesus was born. Actually, most people think he was born in the spring. That is a whole different sermon. So I'm not going to go there. But at Christmas, we often talk about how the shepherds were lowly and yet they were elevated, which is another fun shepherd connection. I lost my place because I'm like way off my notes now. Hold on. Oh yeah, okay. So when his listeners heard this, when his followers heard this, they had to like reframe their whole thinking about who Jesus was because he claimed to be a good shepherd. And yet I think it still speaks to us today. Because in America, we don't have shepherds like that. We have shepherds who have pens and they live in really nice farmhouses. And yet I think we can still learn a ton from this I am statement. I'll share a little bit about what it means to me. So I don't know if most of you guys probably know the hymn, Come Thou Fount. There's a line in that hymn that says, prone to wander. And I think that describes my walk with Jesus really well, which doesn't mean that I like walk away from my faith or try other religions, but I definitely think I am prone to wander. I can let things distract me from my shepherd, take my eyes off him. How many of you guys have seen the movie Up? Yes, Dot has. We watched it recently. The dog Doug with the squirrels, you know, squirrel. Yeah, that's like my faith journey summed up. I think it's just a lot of times it's the daily things of life. Sometimes I get really bogged down in like, oh my gosh, the world is crumbling and everything's ending and what is happening? And it's like the big picture, right? And I get really like angsty. And then sometimes it's about how my life looks different than I thought it would. And sometimes it's a hard patch in my marriage, or sometimes it's a good patch in my marriage, or sometimes it's, you know, I have a strange relationship with my brother, and so we're not close anymore. And sometimes it's just the demands of work and motherhood and schedule and trying to get from one place to the other, and who's going to pick this? And, you know, it's a lot of things that can take my eyes off my shepherd. And all those things don't go away when I'm with the shepherd, but he definitely makes them way more manageable and puts them in perspective. He doesn't want me to do those things alone because I can't do it alone. I don't have the tools. I don't know where to find the water. I don't know where to find the pasture. I don't know how to protect myself from the wolves. And he knows me way better than I know myself. I have a very low IQ of like myself. Like, what is that? Have you guys taken those? The words is just gone. Yeah, they're like IQ tests, but they're like emotional intelligence tests, or like, so like, I have really good spatial awareness, but not really good like self-awareness. My husband's very good about knowing exactly how he feels and why, and he's like, why are you feeling that way? I'm like, I don't even know what I'm feeling, and I don't know why. Don't talk to me about it. Let's just go to Dairy Queen. Know right where to get there, okay? Again, off my notes. I don't know if any of you are like this, but when I wander, when I take my eyes off the shepherd, I find myself really embarrassed when he comes to find me, because he always does. The parable of the lost sheep again. I picture his face super frustrated, super annoyed. My daughter's here. I'm like, I get pissed. When she doesn't listen, okay? And I picture that because I'm not God. I'm just a mom. And yet, he's not like that because he is God. And I think he doesn't feel that way because he lays down his life for his sheep. This is his passion. This is his purpose. I am so deeply loved by him. So when I find myself coming back and oh man, Sarah, you wandered again. And Jesus is like, and then I'm like, no, that's not how he looks. So I turn to pictures like this. This is one that's a staple in my life because he's so happy to have gone and found the sheep. I mean, just look at that. The joy radiating from that picture. He's not mad that I wandered. He's happy that I'm home. And I just think that's how Jesus wants us to think about him as the good shepherd. And there's just because he's so good, he knows us personally, he calls me by my name, no matter how insignificant I may feel or how I wander, he knows me, he's trustworthy, I can listen to his voice, he wants to talk to me, he wants me to hear him, he's always with us, unlike the hired hands who wander away when times get tough. He lays down his life for us. He provides and protects for us, which doesn't mean a perfect life, right? But it does mean peace. So here's what I want you to hear tonight. We'll put these up here. Your good shepherd knows you. Your good shepherd loves you. Your good shepherd has your back. Your good shepherd comes after you when you wander. And your good shepherd wants you to follow him, and he is trustworthy. From Genesis to Revelation, he shows us this beautiful metaphor of God's heart for his people. In Jesus, we find the good shepherd who knows us, who loves us, who provides for us, protects us, and ultimately laid down his life for us. Tonight, I want you to I'm going to give you like a good 5 minutes. Wanda's going to come up, play some music, and I just want you to spend some time listening to the voice of your good shepherd. Whether you're feeling lost, whether you're feeling in a season of wandering, season of vulnerability, a great season of joy and contentment, or simply just in need of being with your good shepherd, I invite you to just spend some time listening to his voice tonight. His rod and his staff are here to comfort you. His table is prepared for you, and in his flock you'll find his true home. So let's take some time and spend it with our shepherd. Okay, you guys can take a seat. Thanks for engaging with that. I hope you had a good time with your good shepherd. I am going to pray a blessing over you guys, and then Lydia's going to come up and share about some exciting stuff. She's just grabbing it. Let's make it awkward. So if you guys feel comfortable, you can hold out your hands like we do in service. But I just bless you with the knowledge that God is your good shepherd. He loves you. He wants to protect you and provide for you. He knows you intimately. You can know his voice, and he longs to go after you when you wander. And he's not mad. He's actually quite happy that you're in his flock. So, Lord, thank you for being our good shepherd. Thank you for caring about us. Thank you for the fact that even when we do wander, you come and get us. And I just ask that you be with each and every one of these women here tonight. Speak to her and let her know how you truly feel about her. In your name, amen.